My next guest was diagnosed with bipolar disorder in the late 1990s. Cartoonist Ellen Forney says back then there wasn't much information available, just lots of stigma. She wrote a memoir about her experience, wrote it and drew it. She's a cartoonist. The book was called Marbles, and the New York Times praised its vigor, wit, and visual inventiveness. Her new book is called Rock Steady, Brilliant Advice from My Bipolar Life. Ellen Forney, welcome to KUOW.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
You've said that a symptom of mania is believing you're completely in control of your life. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you think about a day that you feel just full of hope and things are going to be all right, and just this really deep sense of everything is really interconnected and things are there, sort of a universal truth. It's a rare feeling for most of us. And that is something that is certainly for me was a feeling that I would have fairly often.
That sounds fantastic.
Well, that's the thing. In my latest book, Rock Steady, Brilliant Advice from My Bipolar Life, I have some little faces saying the different things that are difficult challenges in trying to remain stable. And a lot of that is romanticizing and feeling tempted by a memory of mania. And next to one of those heads, I have kind of like a mouth with a very seductive mouth with fangs, like a sexy Dracula fangs, mm-hmm. saying, "Kiss me." It's very seductive. It can be very seductive. But if you think of somebody who's really speedy, I mean, if you've ever known anybody who has a speed or a cocaine problem or something like that, who's talking really fast and is really into what, you know, like very specifically, you know, self-centered and that kind of thing, they're difficult to be around.
When you were feeling that way, you were feeling in control and on top of the world, were there important things that you were actually out of control of?
Well, sure. That's the flip side of the experience, even at the time, is feeling really compelled, is feeling really irritable. I mean, I know that part of that feeling like extra excited would mean if something kind of fell through, you know, get stuck in traffic, for example. You know, it would be so aggravating just if you think about having your whole self with that kind of extra energy that for the most part goes in this real like up direction, but it can kind of sort of bank shot into a different direction. So that's why after a period of mania, there is inevitably this fall into depression. The body is just exhausted. The mind is just exhausted.
You call telling people that you have bipolar disorder coming out. Do you have a coming out story?
There's one that's in Rock Steady about coming out to my partner now. We've been together for 9 years, but in the very beginning, my telling him that I had bipolar disorder was kind of clunky.
Clunky, yeah.
Yeah. No, I intended to be kind of smooth about it, but I just blurted it out. We were sharing a hotel room, and I had to take my meds, and he was in the shower. And I couldn't decide whether I should take them fast and deal with coming out later or just kind of be casual about it. And he got out of the shower and I hadn't decided yet. And so I just kind of blurted it out. But we survived that.
How'd it go? What was his reaction, may I ask?
Well, he was, as I know him to be, he was warm and understanding and made some comment about how he had gone to art school, and so it was something that wasn't entirely new to him.
Yeah.
And we got beyond that. He did say that that it wasn't the bipolar part that made him nervous, because he was actually a little nervous, but it was the blurt part in the way that I said it.
Hmm.
But one of the things, just to kind of like follow that up, one of the things in Rock Steady, when I was putting Rock Steady together, that was really important to me, was getting back to being human and taking care of yourself and having a certain amount of flexibility in that and knowing that you're going to mess up sometimes. And so you can know all of the things that you should do. I knew that I should either like save that disclosure for later or really be, you know, like be calm about it and be ready to answer questions. And I just didn't do that. But, you know, it wound up being okay. you know, or it might just, it might be fixable, you know, more often
fixable
than not,
is a good
it'll be
word.
Okay.
A lot of things are fixed. They're not perfect, but they're fixable.
Right, right. It's not a slippery slope. It doesn't mean that you're a failure. It's just par for the course. And it's just folded into the bigger picture of taking care of yourself.
This is Ellen Forney, whose new book is Rock Steady, Brilliant Advice from My Bipolar Life. And you get it, your book is a kind of a toolkit in part, and you do get into stuff that's good advice for all of us.
Right.
Right? I mean, get your sleep, eat right.
Right.
Take your meds.
Right.
Have a
right.
support system.
Or take your meds if you take meds.
If you take meds.
Right, right, right.
Don't be off your meds.
Right. Well, I think there is a... So this is a tricky thing. That's why I came up with the acronym SMEDMERTS for my sort of like health strategy. I'll just rattle that off. Sleep, meds if you take meds. Eat in a way that nourishes you. E-D, see your doctor or whatever therapy is working for you. D-M, meditation, mindfulness. Exercise, routine, tools, coping tools, and a solid support system. And all of those things are really important.
I think most of us would agree about sleep and exercise and a support system. But you, the M's you mentioned, mindfulness, meditation, you've changed your relationship to your thoughts, would you say?
That practice is very effective for a lot of the different aspects that I was talking about, like calming yourself. Focusing on your breathing kind of allows you to calm down and focus. Being able to kind of relax, the sort of get outside of that frazzled brain and to get some perspective away from that, it helps you sleep. It helps you get through your day. It helps, like, there again, if you're in traffic and you're just, you know, like getting really in a snarl and you're getting to the place on time and what are those other people doing that, you know, like, that's so stupid, that if you can be like, oh, this is what's going on in this moment. I'm going to kind of like take a step back. What's going on? My heart is racing. My breath is getting shallow. You know, I am here right now. So what am I going to do? I'm going to relax. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to just like, you know, think about where I am and kind of give yourself a little distance and time to just not be freaking out that way.
You talk about your talking back to your internal critic.
Right.
Have you used that personally? Are there thoughts that you've been able to question or take less seriously?
So that exercise, that kind of skill, that's part of CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a very rational, skill-based way to deal with primarily depression, where you put on, let's say, the left column, the different thoughts that are going through your head that tend to bounce around in your head. Let's say, for example, like, I'll never find a partner, or I am never going to be successful in my work. I'm unlovable, those things. And then in the right column, when you're, you know, like sitting calmly and rationally and you're writing these things down, you write something that sort of answers to that, like, I can't know that. I still have much life to live, and I have had such and such in the past, and I don't know that it might happen in the future, that kind of thing. So I've used that in the past. And it definitely, that kind of thing becomes a part of your consciousness, or it just becomes a part of your habits. It's like folded into what I might naturally do in my thoughts.
Suicide prevention's in the news, especially with Anthony Bourdain, Kate Spade dying. And right. Often the advice is ask for help, reach out and ask for help.
Right.
But how hard is that to do when you're depressed, for example?
Well, as you might imagine, it's one of the hardest things to do. In feeling really, really down and depressed, I mean, part of that is feeling worthless and hopeless and unlovable. And so reaching out is a really, really hard thing to do. It's important to have that support system that you can reach out to for help. Have that established for the long term, for now.
Starting now.
Smaller things, right?
Yeah.
Like I knew when I was in the depths of depression, I knew that my mother loved me, even though I felt that she was deluded, that But I knew that, and I knew that I could call her and that she would love me. But it's important to know what to do when we are actually in a crisis. It's maybe even more important to have that support system established.
It shouldn't be so exceptional that we get to hear a caring, supportive voice, you know, and can bounce things off. It's not just an emergency.
Right.
It's life.
Well, I think it's really important. A lot of the consciousness that's going on right now is on reaching out to other people too. I almost always, in any of the readings that I do, get a question, a very caring, loving question from someone from the audience. How do I reach out to my son, daughter, friend, coworker, who I think is having a problem or who I know is having a problem? And it is a very subjective thing. It's a very difficult thing to answer. The main thing is to be there and to listen and not feel like you have to give advice. But on the other side of that question, it's as the person who has the disorder myself, I'm still responsible for myself. I can still reach out. I guess it's a really tricky balance in figuring out what this message is. It's important for people to reach out to other people, period. It's also important for those of us who are feeling compromised to know that we're not powerless. There are things that we can do ourselves.
Smedmerts,
exactly. For the long term and in crises.
Ellen Forney, you may know her for her memoir, Marbles. Whether you do or not, her new book is called Rock Steady, Brilliant Advice from My Bipolar Life. Ellen, thanks a lot for this.
Thanks so much for having me.